Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf, and today I have returning guest and one of my closest friends, Tina Constis, is here.
Hey.
Hey, this is my first time podcasting in my new place.
And it's beautiful.
Thank you. And you're my first guest in a new place, so that's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, and she's petting my mermaid pillow, my mermaid sequins pillow, because it can go back. I love textiles like that. It calms you down.
It's a super sensory thing. It's so fun.
That's why, I love the sparkles, obviously, but like I also, it's like squishy balls or fidget spinners. Like,
or like those little sand rake things, that like raking therapy.
I don't think I've ever done that.
I think I feel like they've made like a memes out of it almost at this point, that it's like so cheesy. Like it's a big thing of sand and or a little thing of sand, and you just get a tiny little rake and you mess with it.
I've seen those, but I haven't really done that. But you know those like squishy sticky sands that kids play with?
Yes.
Those are amazing. So textiles, man. Mm-hmm. They were selling these like really cool squishy stress balls at Walgreens. I went there earlier. And I was thinking about getting one for Shane, and I didn't because it was like $7, but which is probably inappropriate. Like if it's cheaper than that, you know that something went wrong.
Right.
But anyway, so let's talk. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Well, first of all, your birthday's coming up.
Yeah, this is my birthday week.
Yeah. So it's Thursday.
Mm-hmm. 33.
33. That's a huge number. Well, if you believe in numerology, which I
kind of like
it.
Yeah. I don't know anything about numerology, but somebody was like, do you want to do anything for your birthday? And I was like, I'm not that excited about it, except for the fact that the number sounds really pretty. 33. Like just two odd numbers, two pretty, like just 33, two lucky numbers.
It's a gorgeous number. It's a master number. Any double number is a master number. It's like a gateway year.
Cool.
Really cool things. You know, once again, I don't know how much you believe in it, but...
if it's good news, I'll take it.
It's good news. Okay. Well, Jesus Christ died and resurrected at 33. Miracles can happen.
Yeah.
And 33, when I turned 33, big shit happened. It was like... half tumultuous, half beautiful. Because sometimes destruction needs to happen in a good way so new things can grow. So, yeah. Anyway.
I'm hoping for a good year. I feel like I'm owed one. Not that I've been having bad years. I'm just feeling like at some point I've been behaving myself. I've been doing what I should be doing. I'm not getting into shit. Like, I just feel like it's beginning to be my turn, it feels like. Amen. Whatever that means.
I get it. Like, it's almost like a breakout year. I'm thinking of like a plant that's like been pushing up against the soil for a while. Like, you deserve to have those little like stems and leaves or whatever you'd say, like sprout through.
Yeah, I've been trying really hard in general just to like be good at my job, be good at teaching, be worthy of people's time, be considerate, be kind. Like, I'm just trying harder to be more self-aware.
And when Tina and I became friends years ago, I feel like we were always good-hearted people, but I feel like we were both making decisions that didn't necessarily, I'll talk about at least in like the boy area, and I'll bring it to me since I don't want to share anything you don't want to share, but like I can say for me, I was making decisions that were based almost more on like impulsivity, in the sense of when we desire connection and you feel so lonely, it's easy to just be like, all right, fuck it, I'll go out with this person, or you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you and I both, for the most part, I know me, you know, I've been celibate for over 2 years. It's like, it's not worth it. You get to a point where you're like, casual sex or whatever, even casual dates, you know, like they become painful, at least for me. Whoever is out there doing it, do your thing.
Yeah. I think I lacked a lot of like, I think we're so hungry for connection that I lacked any foresight for like what was going to happen via this thing. I couldn't see into the future because I was so hungry for like whatever connection I could get right now.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't see how destructive this thing was going to be, which was very obvious to everyone around me. What a bad idea it was.
But you know what? To the everyone around you, too, there's so many people in relationships that look stable, but they totally settle just to feel not alone or connected or whatever. And the truth is, this is the shit I'm on, at least, is like, unless it's that like crazy, fiery, for real, in love thing, it's just not worth it. I feel like you always come right back to where you were.
Right.
You know, and this is coming from someone who's been divorced, you know, and like you can have the title of marriage or girlfriend, boyfriend or whatever, but like unless it sets your heart on fire, which sounds so corny, but it's true. Like for me, at least, it's just not worth it.
Yeah. Do you know this is the first time I've played with one of these ever?
The mermaid pillow?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just like, whoa.
Infatuated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm with magic. You. I'm with you. I think that a lot of people are doing that. And I think that a lot of people, and I'm not knocking them for it, and I totally understand it. And the older I get, I tend to call myself a late bloomer. I realize what other people are doing a lot later than they've already been doing it. Like people my own age, like I realized, I was like, oh, why are all these people like getting married? And do they really love this other person? And why are they settling? And it's because they crave, at this stage in their life, they crave that stability and they're willing to give up all of that other stuff just to have the security. And I'm not knocking it at all. I totally get it. So I'm just like moving into this era of like, I would love to have the stability, but I want to make sure, but I will pummel someone if I don't find them my equal. So I know that I can't stop laughing at me, that I can't date someone.
You said it so calmly. I couldn't.
It's so true that
I will pummel someone.
I will bully the shit out of you if you can't rise to meet me. And
it sounds so wrong, but it's so real and so true. And yeah. I have been there. Yeah. Because it almost becomes this like play for dominance in a weird, like you don't mean for that to happen, but like when you're not feeling fulfilled, it's like you almost like try to sculpt them unconsciously.
I scold people. I scold them.
But that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like when they're not ultimately fulfilling that thing, which who knows if it ever is truly filled, but like you know what I mean, like
yeah
you end up getting mad.
Yeah,
you end up getting mad.
You're like super like mad. Have you ever listened to Esther Perel?
Mm-mm.
I'm obsessed with her. So she's made her way onto a bunch of podcasts that I listen to. She also says some stuff about how like we expect our partners to do everything that our whole community used to do for us.
Yeah.
And she's saying it's also about changing your expectations and making sure that if your partner isn't the kind of person that can fulfill you and speak to you maybe about the books that you're interested in or whatever, that you can find friends that do that. Your partner doesn't have to be this thing that fulfills every aspect of you. You need to change your expectations a little bit, not change. Well, she's already talking about people in marriages, not change your partner if the partner is right for you in a bunch of other ways. And so I'm just trying to be more realistic. She also said that the people who are the most hopeless romantics end up single the longest because they refuse to settle. And she was like, and often like, I don't find that people who are single are disillusioned. I find that they are hopeless romantics. And so I'm just trying to, not that I'm buying in one way or another, just look at every aspect before I put myself back out there.
Yeah.
Every realm of possibility.
And I think, I mean, lack of community is just an issue all around.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I love so much about, like, Native American indigenous culture is, like, they're so aware of how much we all need each other. And how interconnected we all are. And I can say from having been a single mom, and that doesn't mean I raised Shane alone, but when on the days where it was just me and Shane and I didn't feel that I had that community, it gets very, very hard and lonely and you feel isolated, and just a partner alone would not, whether you have a kid or not, but like, you know, it's great to have community, but in community, it's also important to not be fake. Yeah. And I think that's the thing we're lacking is like when we do have a lot of people who have like the community, they don't know how to set proper boundaries or say yes or no. And then if you're getting resentful or taken advantage of, you then take it out on your partner. So I think like healthy right. community where honesty and boundaries, and you can really probably only do that when you're in the right partnership, actually. But I think the whole thing feeds into the other. My brother used to tell me that like in some Native American cultures, if there was a person in the group that was having issues or even really,
this.
You know, horrific dreams or nightmares, that they would always bring it to, like, nothing was left unsaid, but in a positive way, like no sweeping things under the carpet. And I think we're in a big society because we're so many of us are ashamed of ourselves or other things that things go unsaid. And to me, that just festers. And hopefully, well, we'll get into the Kavanaugh case things are coming to the surface, and it's very abrupt for certain people who don't want to face certain issues. And for others, it's freeing and like a breath of fresh air. It's sad, you know, sexual abuse, but it's not new.
It's not new.
So yeah, it needs to be discussed. I would love to hear your thoughts. And by the way, when I had Ritu on last week, she came over, she's like, did you hear about Kavanaugh? And I was like, Kavanaugh means devotion and intention in my Kabbalistic school.
Oh my God, that's so cute.
So Kavanaugh,
yeah.
She was like, I hadn't even heard when she had come, and then boom, it
was inescapable. It was
boom, everywhere. And I became, I don't want to say obsessed because I'm not obsessed with it, but I started looking at a lot of the YouTube videos and the trial, and because it's so important, it's such an important issue that relates to more than just sexual assault and abuse. So I would love to hear your thoughts on everything.
Yeah, I mean, where to start? So I feel like women are finally just having this moment where, and maybe I'm wrong, but I tend to feel like most of the women that you talk to have experienced some degree of sexual assault, if not rape, like through their high school, through their formative years. Like, I remember parties. I remember talking to my friends directly after that, some of my closest friends, and them being like, I have absolutely woken up from a blackout and there was somebody on top of me or somebody next to me. And the thing is, for me, that it is not because that person got blackout that they got raped. It's because that person got blackout and ended up with a rapist that they got raped. It is not in the blacking out. It is not in the getting drunk. It is not in anything. It is in the man, the young man, the boy, to not take advantage of a woman. That's how we have to shift this view of focus, because I feel like there's still too much like boys will be boys and like
it's like locker room talk.
Yeah, like we're like, it's weird that we're still talking about like women being equals. Like you're not allowed to take advantage of a woman just because she's drunk. It's nothing in the being drunk. It's not even in the fact that she's helpless. Like we're smaller by nature. We're smaller. Like, so it is easy to take advantage of us, and we crave approval just like anyone else. And I feel like a lot of this happens in the formative years when you're craving approval and you really don't want to have sex with this person, you really don't want to hook up with them, but something in you fears that you won't have their approval unless you do. So it's just, for me, it's shifting that.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, amen to everything you said. And I think also really looking at the root, because the patriarchy and the fall of the patriarchy, it's not anti-man. As the patriarchy falls, it helps both genders. But I would love to get into and hear your thoughts on, why do you think so many men and young boys and boys in general out there even want to sexually assault? Because I feel like that's the thing that we really need to start talking about, is like, without even a blame,
because they don't think
what's
wrong,
going on,
because our society doesn't tell them it's wrong. They think that they should be able to meet their needs however they want. And we are still taught that women's needs are not as important as a man's needs. We're still taught that, like, we're there to serve. We're still made to be sexual objects in movies. We don't have the same jobs. We don't hold the same positions of power. So they still think, like, that's an inferior person to me. If I really want to fuck her, I should be able to.
I can take what I want.
I can
kind
take
of a
what
thing.
I want, yeah.
Yeah, it's like complete dehumanization. And I think a lot of this starts in the home, right? So, because little boys are getting abused as well, whether it's emotionally, verbally, or physically, and sometimes by the mother, mother or father. But when you hold in rage, so if there's a little kid getting beat or yelled at, and then they see this helpless person who's inhibited by drugs, right? It's like, oh, here's a place where I can finally take out, or, you know, explode my rage or dominance onto, because I feel so powerless at home. And right. I think that's why we all need to talk about the struggles we're all collectively going through and how much pain a lot of us carry, because, and you and I've experienced this when we both taught in Westfield, most people are not really talking about the truth of what's going on in their inner world. And that's why I think you and I became friends quickly, is mm-hmm. because we were in, and I'm not saying we were the only ones in that school, but it was still the community there. It's more of like, how are you? I'm good. Or it's like, oh, you know, my father's battling this thing. It's like, oh, I'll pray for him. But like, nothing really goes under the surface. Like, it's not like proper to share your messiness. And I had, you know this, a couple teachers, maybe more than a couple, that did not appreciate, because I got the job and then went through a divorce pretty quickly. And it was almost this attitude of like, you better shut that in. Like, you don't show us your mess. Like,
right.
I felt like I got, people came after me almost for being quote unquote messy emotionally.
Okay.
And I feel like the more we can admit that a lot of us have these emotions, you know what I mean? Like, right. Even if it looks like we're doing all right or whatever, a lot of us are struggling, and a lot of times they're unheard stories. But yeah,
and the way
I think
make
I can
that,
hear Jada down there.
Yeah, and the way to make that feel, or just like, and I understand that you can't totally express that stuff at work.
Yes.
There has to be like a level of decorum to keep your job fully functional. But the fact that we're taught not to share any of it, that it should be totally personable, that we should never show any of our faults, it's just, it's impossible to live up to.
Yeah.
It exactly. dehumanizes us in a totally different way.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, sorry, I'm like distracted.
Me too. I'm so distracted.
I know. So I guess I'll talk about my living. Hey guys, we're podcasting. It's all good though.
I don't even think they can hear you.
Yeah. So right now, so I moved in to a new place.
Yeah.
You know, but so my ex-husband and his new wife, they're currently living downstairs, but moving out of it right now. So it's a little bit
close for comfort, but it's a really beautiful place.
And now there's vacuuming.
And now there's a vacuum. Hopefully yeah. you can't hear it.
But it's one of those situations where I can't complain.
No.
Or maybe that's an illusion, but I really feel like I can.
Well, you feel thankful. So yes. you're willing to deal with some other little things in the interim.
Yeah. And I know it's going to, but you know, it's going to get better, but it's definitely sitcom-esque at the moment.
Absolutely.
But no one's into it. It's not like, yeah.
It is like a sitcom.
It is. I mean.
Until you said that, I didn't even think about that.
And we've kind of joked about it, but like, yeah. I think because of my background as a comedian, like I can take things like this and roll with it a lot easier
yes.
than most.
Yeah, absolutely.
So like, I definitely feel for her because right. I'm sure she's like, what? But at the same time,
it's like every new wife's nightmare. The ex-wife is upstairs.
Yeah, it's not, I'm sure it's not fun. However, once again, it's not my favorite. However, I'm appreciative.
Yes.
And honestly,
you're allowed to feel both those things at the same time.
Yes. And we're all basically doing this for Shane.
Right.
And I think that's like our common denominator is who doesn't love him.
Right.
He's just a good fucking kid.
He's a great kid. I love that kid.
Yeah. And he always like talk about non-duality. You know, he's always able to like for real see everyone's side and everything. And
so sweet.
Yeah, it's really cool. And he's helped me heal a lot of my things just by him being so loving to, you know, all ends in many ways. Okay. Anyway. So back to the case. I think, well, first of all, whoever doesn't believe Dr. Ford, do you know what I'm saying though? Like, it's like
some people yelling, there's no evidence. I'm like, bitch, that shit happened 30 years ago. The evidence is the story she's telling you. And then I've had other people being like, oh, it's a very convenient time to tell this story. I'm like, fuck yeah, it's a convenient time. If somebody did that to me and they're going up for a Supreme Court nomination, I'd be like, let's pump the brakes. I maybe have some shit to say right now. It's the perfect time to say it.
Yeah. Of course, because she sees a man who did something very evil and corrupt. And she hasn't said it, but she's already watched him do, quote unquote, well in his life.
Right.
But suddenly she was like, no, I can't.
This is too far. She hit her limit.
Yes.
She hit her limit. She was like, I cannot. And of course, it's in the wave of this movement. Women are feeling empowered. They're feeling like, you know what? I don't have to take this anymore. I don't have to watch this man who abused me, who assaulted me, go on to the Supreme Court. That shit is just too far. It's too far. And so she said something. And it's just amazing to me because the people are like, what is the likelihood that that happened? It's pretty fucking good. Because I went to high school. We all went to high school. We were all at those parties. I'm sorry if you weren't at those parties. But also...
Sorry, not yeah, sorry.
But also, maybe you missed some shit you didn't need to experience.
Yeah.
But most of us went to at least one of those parties where a couple doors got closed and you didn't know what the fuck was going on. And boys were being disgusting. Like, I just know that...
I had some parties where the girls were being gross, too.
I'm not saying that.
There was, like,
that.
One, like... In high school, there was, like, a sex party. It wasn't branded like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it turned into one. And I remember... hearing about, that's why when like some people from my high school try to act now like so together, I'm like, bitch, I remember what you did at SX. I wasn't even there.
That's fine.
No, it's fine, but I'm saying like when you get too uppity and like and you act that, I'm like, honey, I got a good memory.
I have, you know what I mean? I remember.
Let's not get too judgy there.
Right. So I just feel like it's such an equalizer when you can say, hey, did you ever go to a party in high school? You did. So you know that that happened. Either it was you or it was your friend. It was something you heard about. We all experienced and heard those stories. So the likelihood is good, very good, that that happened. And it also is good that it felt like abuse to her. Oh, I mean, it was. And to him, it felt like no big deal because he still believes that it was no big deal. Like that he probably doesn't remember it happening because he just let it go. Like it didn't even register in his subconscious because he felt entitled to do that.
Well, he's almost mad that he's been, what's the word? Inconvenienced.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like he has this entitlement of like, how dare you inconvenience me right now and disrupt my, what I'm trying to do. It's like, wait a second. Like, he brought this upon himself. And in terms of those parties, because I'm sure you've read a lot of this, so he was like a frequent partier back then. Yes, he was young, but these parties, they would put either grain alcohol or like Quaaludes. They would purposely...
Quaaludes aren't even legal anymore.
Well, they would purposely...
get galoods anymore. That's not a thing.
Yeah. They would purposely drug or make the drinks there even more intoxicating than people would think, with the point of, okay, let's see how many girls get so uninhibited or unable to even protect themselves because they're so drugged out. And then they would run train on those girls. Ugh. They would bring them into a room and there would be a line of boys raping a girl, taking turns, who could not defend herself because she had been so intoxicated. So I'm not sure if he was ever one of the guys to be in the train of in that way, but him and his friend were constantly at these parties. And then of course there were instances where he would do things like he did. Well, she's the only one that's come out from that thing, but there have been other women saying now that they were also sexually assaulted by him. So, you know,
I mean, talk about lack of, I wouldn't even call the word respect, but it's almost like lack of acknowledgement that that is a full living, breathing, conscious human being. Like that is just an object to all of those boys. And I can imagine clearly that in order to do something like that, you truly have to think that, or else how would you go through
You're so removed from your soul at that point to be able to, but there's a sickness within our society, and that's part of the patriarchy falling. It doesn't just affect men, women. It's about racial issues. It's about how we treat the environment, animals. It's like when we become so removed and we like, or like, let's get rid of the fucking parks and just dig for oil. It's all of this like mine. It's greed. It's like what you see in the movie Avatar. It's like it affects, it's a sickness that affects everything. And until we really get to the root of this thing and people start doing real healing work, because when you're that angry and that suppressed, whether or not you're actually assaulting people, but the fact that you want to go and get that fucking fucked up anyway and drunk to run from your problems, I'm not against drinking or smoking or whatever, but when you're getting to the point where you're like having to run from your feelings because you're in that much pain, man, it's like we need to start speaking the language of I'm battling depression, I'm battling anxiety, I need to see someone, I need to talk. Like it has to be less taboo to discuss these things. And that to me is what I think is going to actually, and what's going on now of just people speaking up and.
Yeah. And saying, I'm not dealing with this shit anymore.
Almost every woman has a story. And I think every man does too.
Right.
I think if men start speaking up, which is yet to catch on, is that men are allowed to be vulnerable and to be victims in whether it was sexual assault or being hit by parents or whatever. We all need to start speaking this pain that we hold on to.
Well, I think that's what would happen if we could. If we could say we don't accept this, then men would turn around and slowly be able to start saying, I don't accept this either.
Yes.
I don't want this. I feel vulnerable. Like if that whole shift would happen, that's what we and you were discussing before we started talking, was that like the patriarchy falling is not about taking down men. It's just talking about the one-sidedness of the whole situation. That's the patriarchy falling. We need to be able to look at women and say like, women are also valuable. Women, like, which is a crazy thing to have to say out loud, but like, they also have a position of whatever, every single feeling a man has. And once you raise them up to that platform, men can have more quote unquote feminine feelings.
Well, men do have feminine
feelings. Well, they'll feel at ease to express them. But of course they have them.
Right. Yeah. My point is like, and I get why people are terrified to show their vulnerability, is we have bullying is real. Yeah. Like in high schools and everywhere, you know? So it's like, it's not cool when you cry or when you're wounded, but it's changing. And I think like the more we can be like, because I'm even like, I can trick myself because I, on one hand, I'm a tough bitch. I know you can relate to this. But like, even though we're tough and that's real, there's a badass bitch thing. We're also so sensitive and like, and I'm saying that for everyone though, across the board.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like when we can start being like, no, that actually really hurt my feelings, even if it seems like it was quote unquote small, you know, it's like speaking up when we're hurting instead of thinking we have to mask it. That's what ultimately is shifting and needs to shift here. And man, like the past 2 years have been, I mean, my whole life, but the past 2 years, part of my healing work has been really trying to admit to just what my feelings are, even if I want to throw out my feelings or make them different than what they are.
I feel like embarrassing. Like, yeah.
And it's like, look, my feelings are my feelings, you know? And it's brave to admit to them, but I still hold back a ton because I think privacy is crucial as well, especially when it's on a public podcast.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Like, it's really hard to put your feelings out there and your heart on your sleeve and be like, this is how I feel. But I'm hoping and I pray for a world where we can all start feeling safe to be like, hey, you know, these are my feelings.
Right. And that's really what this woman's doing.
Yes.
She's doing all of that. She's putting herself out there. And her worst fears are being realized.
Yes.
That people are still not going to believe her because it serves them better to say he didn't do it so that they can gain their political position. And you're just like, this is insane.
And for the people that like are just for him, that don't know him, it's almost like that same sweeping it under the, it's like they don't want their lives to be disrupted. It's like they want to go on pretending that not just him, but men that are like him, like everything's okay. And you kind of compared it to this whole like Blue Lives Matter thing. And first of all, let me say, of course I don't want cops to be killed.
Same.
Okay. Like, of course. But I would love to hear what you were saying before about how it compares to that thing.
My position on that is sort of that if you need to stand by Trump or you need to stand behind white supremacy, it's because you're so afraid that you don't have any value, and the last thing that you're hinging your value on is the fact that you're white, and you feel like it gives you, and it does give you, like a position of authority or just convenience, and you're so afraid to lose that because then you'd actually have to do shit, so you're just clinging to white supremacy. And it's the same thing in Blue Lives Matter, because there's no reason that you would get behind cops like that. Like, I have friends who are policemen. I have friends who have husbands who are policemen. I don't want anything to happen to them. I'm thankful for them. They have shown up for me when I've gotten injured. I love, and I'm not saying they're all bad or they're all good, but I love the work that they do and I'm thankful for it. But the reaction to Black Lives Matter being Blue Lives Matter is ridiculous to me, because...
Or All Lives Matter.
Same thing. All Lives Matter is even more obvious. Of course, yes, we all matter.
That's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying. And we're saying these people who are being underserved matter.
Yes.
And we need to say that emphatically and separately, because they have been swept under the rug, like you've been saying. Like, these people have been getting killed because of the color of their skin at a higher rate. And it is a higher rate. You can find the statistic. It exists. People of color get killed more frequently. And so to fire back to Black Lives Matter, it sounds racist. And if that's a position that you hold, that Blue Lives Matter, why are you holding that position? Is it because you don't want to acknowledge that Black people are getting killed more frequently? Like, why are you holding on to that so dearly? Or you're so afraid that people are going to expose your people, your cop people, as racist? What is it? What is this Blue Lives Matter thing that you're holding? Nobody said the cops don't matter. But we're saying statistically, this amount of people are being underserved and killed. Forget underserved, literally murdered. So I just feel like all of that has to do with, even with the patriarchy, that it's white men in charge and people are holding on to for dear life to make sure that doesn't change.
Well, when you look at like the pictures, not just of like the Supreme Court, but like when you go to like any municipal building, it's just usually tons of white men. Like when you look at the pictures that are up there, you know, like we like diversity just needs to happen yesterday. And like it's going to be good for everyone.
Right.
Like, it, whatever. I mean,
we're... It's so obvious to us.
I know.
That it's almost hard for us to articulate.
That's like, where I just got now.
I'm like, that's why I heard your whatever. And you're like, fuck it. I can't even do it. It's like, yes, there's no reason that you should look at this person differently or this person differently. It'll be great when we're all just people and we can all just live our lives. There's no reason that you need to be better than that other person because of your skin color. It's not necessary. Yeah.
Well, I hate to bring her into this because I know she totally wants her privacy, but my ex-husband just married an amazing, so she's, I won't give her name, she's an Indian neurosurgeon. And that's a field that's very dominated by male men, you know? And like, I think it's just dope when, not just women of color, but that's to me kind of extra dope, but like when women just go for it in fields that are so dominated by men, it's like things are slowly changing, but we just need to get behind it and like root for it. And those of you who are scared, I promise, like when you really surrender to this thing and to being more vulnerable and to community in general, it's going to benefit all of us. And those of you who are fighting it, like, I mean, karma's a real thing. So like you're
really
fighting
hope
shit
it
like
is.
This.
I really hope
it is. We're going to be seeing, and I say this and I sound like a sociopath when I say this. So I like feel always get a little cringy when I say it, but
like,
you get,
like embarrassed,
those of you who are fighting it, it's like, and none of you are listening to my podcast. Of course, you know what I mean?
Of course.
I'd be the one you'd hate the most, but like the people who are fighting it, you don't have to like, well, sometimes you do have to fight them the way Dr. Ford is. But what I mean is like, if there's someone in your life that's like really being an asshole, like trust that, like, first of all, their physical body's probably going to cave in on them. Physical problems are real, and when you have that much hate, it festers.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I mean, I said this one time and I felt so bad. I was like, let the forest fires get them.
Oh my god. I mean, no disrespect for who anyone for the forest fires really got.
No, of course. Of course. But I'm saying, like, there are things that can happen to, you know.
Yeah.
I sound so evil saying that because there are people who get those things that should not. But, like, just everyone needs to start waking up in the sense of, like,
I had women friends,
even where you live.
Yeah.
Like, some people who are in awful flood areas, like, I hate to say this, get out. Like,
just get out.
Get out. Like, there are some areas that just keep getting hit over and over. And it's like, I feel for you, but like sometimes it's just time to relocate.
And it's hard because I'm sure it's a lot less expensive to live there because it's a flood zone and no one wants to live there and all those issues. I totally get it.
Of
I'm
course.
Not saying it's easy.
I'm not
but
trying
I'm
to be
you.
Insensitive to that. But at the end of the day, what it's you versus Mother Nature, though.
No,
like,
you're going
to
lose every
you're
time.
You're going to lose.
And like every year the hurricanes come. Every year is hurricane season. They can predict it to like the day. And then all of a sudden there's fucking five hurricanes, five tropical storms and depressions all in a row.
And you're like, watching the videos of the rivers down streets and you're just like,
and you're just
it's
like,
awful.
Oh shit, I remember this from last year too. And the year before.
Yeah.
And the year before.
And it's not, I'm not trying to make light or saying anyone
deserves
it.
No, we're not.
But at some point you have to really look at your life and be like, how, like even before I moved here, my rent was just a lot in the other place for me. It was a good deal, but for me it was a lot. And like the drive in the morning was hard on me. And I was like fighting to stay there. And at some point I said, the universe is pushing me somewhere else.
Yeah, it's pushing
I need
me
to
out.
Listen. And I've been pushed enough that I know now that when I resist the push, it sucks. So I try to now go with like the force of life. And I have to say my life force lately, since I've moved, I feel more active. Like there's something that shifted too, where I just feel like I have more energy to get things done.
Well, this space will definitely, I know you guys can't see the space, but Kate's on a second floor and there are just huge windows everywhere and it's all tree surrounded. So when you look out her windows, you actually can't see anything but trees and some blue sky. And I feel like as I'm an interior designer, so spaces have such a big effect on you.
Yeah.
And the ceilings are pretty high in here too, and it's so bright. So just having this shift in environment can be really invigorating.
Yes.
Just looking out your window and seeing nothing but trees is so good for you.
Yes. Agreed. And the fact that I already breastfed the squirrels in the neighborhood really helps.
Yeah, you guys are close.
They're like, oh, she's back. Those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I'm joking, but I did breastfeed a squirrel years ago while actually in this house on the first floor before this addition was made, but I didn't put it up to my actual breast. No? Squeeze it into a cup. No.
There you go. That's
I
fair.
Would never put a squirrel's mouth to my boob. No, that'd be never weird. Say never, but yeah, I would never.
Yeah. Can we talk about Kanye?
Yes. Yeah.
You talk about Kanye first.
Okay. So Kanye West was on Saturday Night Live last night. I did not watch the full thing. I actually probably will. I have on demand. Mm-hmm. But I didn't watch it either. I saw a clip. It like posted up on Instagram. Me you know, too. Like, and I was like, what the hell is this? So then I had to YouTube the full clip. And he is wearing a Make America Great Again cap, and he's performing, and I guess
preaching love
while preaching love. And I guess an audience member was like yelling something or making fun of him or something because he's wearing a very pro Trump hat on SNL. And then you can describe. I showed Tina the video, but I'll have you. I mean, he goes off. He like stops the song and goes on a rant. That in a way, the rant sounds good in a way if you take it out of the, because he's going like, follow your heart, get out of your head. And like, of course I would post a quote like that. However, in relation to what he's preaching about, I'm like, no.
I just don't get it. Part of me almost wants to talk to, so I have such a hot button issue. Like,
well, he's basically saying people tried to bully him into not wearing
that. Right. Hat. Which I'm sure they did. And I get it. But
I'd quote unquote bully someone to not wearing a Nazi hat as well.
Right. And I'm sure there are people who freak out when you say that, like, that's not what Make America Great is about, but you're like,
Nazi symbol's about harmony in the Native American.
Right. But I think that, like, what is the stance? What is the sentiment behind that hat is what I'd like to know. Someone who firmly stands behind that hat, I would love, and maybe you can comment. I would love for them to tell me why they so adamantly, vehemently, like, they stand behind that hat. Why Kanye
and
feels,
Trump,
right? That's what I'm saying. What is the whole, what is it, what are we saying when we stand behind that hat? Because as someone who is on the more liberal side, it immediately equates to like Nazis, just like you said. But maybe that's not what they think it is. Maybe it's more like, I think a lot of it is more about like taking care of America first.
Taxes,
I don't fucking know. Like, I think it's more like we don't want any more immigrants because we need to, like, they're the kind of people when you're like, oh, I adopted a kid from China. And they're like, why the fuck did you adopt a kid from China? Why not adopt one from the South Side? And you're like, I don't know, man, because I just couldn't get a baby from the South. I don't know. Like, but that is not, or maybe because I wanted to help another country out, or maybe because that child I connected with, whatever the fuck it is. But I think that they specifically want to help America first. And maybe that's what it is. And I want to know how they think that that hat is accomplishing that, because if anything, it's dividing this country further. They're not achieving that goal.
Well, okay. I mean, we have two issues here, right? Because we have the issue of what Make America Great Again, those hat and that merchandise means. We also have a whole issue of Kanye West.
right. But the fact that he chose to wear it, what right. sentiment is he trying to embody by wearing that hat? I don't understand.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Kanye West is one thing, and another man wearing it could be another, I guess. Because Kanye, to me, he just seems to be getting, because I used to be a Kanye West fan back in the day.
Me
like
too.
Back in the day, he is a talented musician, right? But he felt more real back when when he first came out and got popular. I was like really digging him.
When
and
he
I was
did
like,
Through the Wire and stuff, like that felt so relatable. Even Jesus Walks was beautiful.
Yes.
Like all of that stuff. I mean, that song used to move me so much, and now I just don't understand where he's landed.
Well, also I'm a fan of the Kardashians, the show. Like mm-hmm. I watch it. I want the best for all of them. I'm not someone who's like, fuck them. I hope they burn in a forest fire.
Those people, who cares? They're just people.
Yeah. I actually support them in a way. I do. However, even his marriage to Kim seems so removed. When I watch them together, it's like, it doesn't feel
She took a photo of, sorry to interrupt you, but she took a photo of them on the beach. And she goes, he usually sleeps through all of vacation, but I finally got him out to the beach. I'm like, this motherfucker goes on vacation with his wife and basically leaves her alone the whole time. He sleeps the whole time he's on vacation and leaves her to fend for herself.
I saw that, and she said it like it was like a joke. Like, this is just what men do.
Yeah.
Like, that's, to me, linked to this patriarchy thing falling. It's like,
bitch, wake your husband up. Tell him to get the fuck outside. You're on vacation,
too. I don't think they're the right match, actually. I mean, on one hand, it looks like it because they're both douches together.
I kind of like her. I mean, I think she's sort of
cute
and sweet.
I don't think that they're... She used to be with that dude, Chris Humphreys. He at least checked her. That's why she left him, though.
Yeah, probably.
It's because he was checking her too much, because she was doing some real superficial shit. Like, to a degree, it's fine, but he was like, yo honey, like, I support you, but like this is getting too far.
This is ridiculous.
And she was like, oh, I'm gonna go with someone who it'll never be too far.
Kanye just pushes her farther and farther.
But is that where she really wants to be? You know how many fights they get into where she's like, I can't believe you just said that. You're fucking with our money. And then he puts out rap songs being like, she wouldn't leave me. I knew she wouldn't leave me. I'm just like, ugh. I'm not into it.
Kanye's broke, isn't he? Like, isn't he super broke?
He's like rich broke.
I mean, he's got her money, but last time I heard he like needed 30 mil to pay off some debt that I don't know.
It's interesting because I think him as like a personal entity has money, but like when he started his business, that a lot of that went under.
I can't even speak on it. I don't know any of it, but
according to him, he's not broke, but his business is broke or so. Do you know what I mean? Like right, his investment fashion,
didn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I guess, you know, and Trump has had so many things go under, but didn't make him go under, like that kind of a thing.
Have you ever heard Trump talk about Kim Jong?
No.
Dude, he's obsessed.
Wait, tell me.
He's obsessed. He comes back and he's like, when he walks into
a room. Who's obsessed with Kim Jong-un?
I don't know. So when he walks into a room, his people stand up. No. I want my people to stand up for me it's called a dictator. Like that, they have to stand up. He's so impressed. He's literally so impressed by the way his subjects, and you're like, they have no other choice. Dude,
they'll get killed.
And he's like, when he walks into a room, they stand up. I wish my people would stand. He said that shit. You can Google it. You can YouTube it. You can watch him say it. He's like, I want my people to do the same.
Here's
like,
the difference.
We ain't doing it.
If Dr. Ford walked into a room right now, the right room, we would stand up and clap for her. Yeah. But not because we're scared she would kill us.
Yeah.
You know, Trump is talking about power through fear.
Yeah.
And this is that's the whole thing that we're trying. This whole podcast is like saying, that's not real power. I have a little bug on me.
That is not real power.
That's not real power. And Kim Jong-un, it's a dictatorship. And that's just, you know, comparing the Nazi symbol once again to make America great again. It's those kinds of comments and things like that that make the comparison real.
And this is also the dude who said, grab her by the pussy. That's all we remember. But before that, he was saying, like, I'm rich. They let me do whatever I want. I can grab her by the pussy.
And a man who's been accused by many women of sexual
assault. Yeah, and he's like, I think he's a great guy. And you're like, dude, you can't weigh in on this situation. You are encouraging people to grab women by the pussy because as long as you're rich, they won't do anything about it. And you're like, this is exactly the culture we're trying to get out of. So I just can't. I mean, I really would like to be the kind of person who can see things from both sides, understand what the hat is about, understand what the movement is about. But when he says stuff like that, I don't respect anybody who could get it behind a leader.
But
I think
we do as best we can. Like, if I'm going to be real honest about what I think that Make America Great Again stands for, I think it's the people in the Midwest who feel forgotten about.
Right.
And I can always get down with people who feel that their voices aren't being heard.
I want to hear them.
As long as it's not steeped in trying to keep other people down.
Or like to revert back to a time when they were down. And so they felt great because they were down and they were prospering. And you're like, dude, we're not there anymore. We're just not there. Move forward. Find your way to advance. Yes, I want the government to protect you. Yes, I want the government to help you get ahead and take care of our farmers, but not at the expense of other people.
No, of course not. And environmental issues are huge too, especially with what's going on. Like the oceans are dying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most terrible. Let's say this. When the oceans are dead, we're dead.
Yeah, yeah.
When the trees are gone, we're gone.
Yeah.
You know, so
way before that.
Oh, yeah. But you get what I'm saying. Like, it's like environmental issues. It's about caring about Mother Earth and ourselves. It's also a selfish decision in a good way. Caring
it's a
about animals.
Love thing.
Yeah.
We're taking care of ourselves. We're taking care of the earth. We're taking care of the thing that gave birth to us. Like, it's insane.
Yeah. To everyone, don't be so removed from yourself, your soul, nature, animals that you think that we could be fine without them. And there was this amazing video I actually posted on my Invasion of Privacy page. And by the way, everyone, I have an Invasion of Privacy page. I just started posting on it again, I guess like 5 months ago. But it was this video. Like, it's hard to know the full context, but it's like, you know, it's this like white woman from her arm and her voice, essentially. And she's like, it starts with her like yelling at a bear. She's yelling at a bear like it's a human, by the way.
What is she saying?
I have to show you. I should have showed you this before. It's unreal, where she's like, "Bear, don't hurt my kayak, Bear." This is, I swear to God, I'm not even, "Bear, no." She's saying Bear like it's his name, you know. She's like, "Bear, don't." And so the bear leaves her kayak alone and starts walking towards her. She's like, "I swear to God, I'll spray you. I'll pepper spray you." The bear comes like, bear doesn't even look like it's attacking her. It looks like the bear's like, "What the fuck's going on, like, with this bitch?
Why are you
What's
saying?
Happening?"
Yeah.
She pepper sprays the bear, which you feel for the bear. Yeah. You're like, the bear didn't look like, she pepper sprayed. You're like, "Bear." And I don't, it's very confusing though, because you're like, where is she? Like, how did this even happen? So she pepper sprays the bear. The bear gets pissed, turns her. First of all, she's lucky because that bear could have gone through the pepper spray and mauled
her. And just swiped her.
The bear turns around, goes to her kayak. She's like, "No, Bear, no. What did I do to you? Why are you doing this?" The bear does purposely fuck up her kayak.
Good for him.
It was one of the most unreal.
Word up, Bear.
The bear totally, like, the bear knew English or something. Do you know what I mean?
Well, he knew vibes. He was like, "That bitch really does not want me to touch her kayak. She's annoying as shit.
She just pepper sprayed me.
She just pepper sprayed me. I'm not going to kill her, but I'm going to go fuck up that kayak."
And she's like, she's like, "Why? Why are you doing this, Bear?" It's so crazy. It honestly reminded me. So when I went to University of Maryland, there was this huge tornado that came through. It was fucking scary. Yikes. If I had literally been out walking, because I always go to the gym, I would have been done. Like, it just tore up this one parking lot that I would walk through, right?
Wow.
So it came through. Two girls did die. It was fucking awful.
Wow.
So I'm walking through the parking lot, and like, cars were just all over the place. Like, it was one of those things where, like, I'm lucky to be alive, right? Like, that was a moment of like, oh, wow. Whoever made it through, like, this is one of those moments.
Right.
So this rich white girl comes running out of a building, okay, to her like Beamer or whatever. It was like a nice fucking car, and all the windows were done. Mm-hmm. But the car was kind of fine. Like, literally next to her car was like a Jeep completely turned over. There were like beams that had completely gone, you know. She comes running out and literally doing the why me thing. Like when Nancy Kerrigan got fucking...
Yeah,
she was literally screaming, "Why me?" And her car was one of the least damaged. And I remember like looking at it like, wow, like, I get it. Like, this sucks. But like, look around you.
Your car is fine, girl.
You're fine. You know, your car is still in the upright position. Like, yes, replacing the windows
are
going to
replace some windows.
Insurance is going to cover it. It was a fucking tornado. It's good. Clearly not your fault. And clearly you have a Beamer and you're like 20 or 19. Like, right. You're being taken care of. Like, I don't know. But it was like one of those moments with the bear where I, like, yes, it sucks to have your kayak fucked up, but like, bitch, you pepper sprayed a bear. Right. Like, if you're that scared of the bear, go away. Like, she's yelling at it to leave her kayak alone and then pepper sprays it. Like, that bear just looked at her and tore apart. I was like, Mother Nature at its finest.
I have a quote that I think of all the time, and I want to know, I don't know how much time we have left, but I'd love to have your feedback on it.
Yeah, do it.
All right. So I like to go running through this trail by my house, and it is a pretty secluded trail. And I remember one time it was pretty rainy, and I put my little parka thing on, and I'm like going to go running. And like 5 minutes into this run, I'm like, I am not going to be one of these fucking dumb white bitches that gets murdered while running on a rainy day through this tiny trail. So I'm going to go ahead and go home now. And I literally, like, after 3/4 of a mile, turned around and ran back to my car. Then I got in my car and I thought to myself, actually, I thought it while I was running. There's a quote, and I don't know who it's attributed to, but it's men are afraid that women will laugh at them, and women are afraid that men will kill them. And that's what crossed my mind. And as I was running, because I felt this like fear all of a sudden. You're alone. It's rainy. Someone pops up out of somewhere. You're done for. There's no way you're getting out of here. And then I realized how fucked up that was, that I had to think that in the car. I had to think, someone, like, your fear is that someone's going to murder you when you're alone and out. And that is the shift in the culture that we need to see. Why do I have to be afraid that just because I'm a woman, a man is going to kill me if I'm alone?
I mean, it's a terrifying thing, and it does link to the parties and all of
that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But right now it is the reality we live in, where you do have to be. It sucks. But the reality is, like, more awareness is required. And I've been there too, where I want to like either run or walk through a place, and then suddenly intuition or something
goes.
This
gut feeling goes, don't do it.
it's not worth it, which is unfortunate because it's often involving nature and
wanting to I just wanted to have like a beautiful, healthy afternoon. It was a little bit of a rainy day. I was feeling down. I thought I would run, get my endorphins up, feel exhausted, have a good night's sleep, just do all these things that were going to be great for me. And I, that quote hit my head where it's like literally like somehow our culture has gotten to a place where we are, men are so afraid of us judging them and speaking to them and talking down to them. And their only reaction to it is like physical violence or some sort of dominance, aggression. Like, and I thought to myself, that's where we need to find the shift in the culture. No matter what, a man shouldn't ever feel like it is acceptable to rape me in the park because I'm by myself.
And just the horror that someone has to be living with to be able to rape someone.
Totally.
You know, that's another, it's unimaginable. And my heart, I know this is going to sound crazy, right? My heart goes out to, this is going to sound fucked, even the rapists who, I don't know what has happened to them or what the fuck's going on to make you ever be that disconnected or that enraged or entitled or whatever it is. But like, somehow we need to find all of us together the cure for it, you know? And
I think this is it. I think the speaking up, the pushing back, I think this is how you change that culture. And I'm so happy it's happening. This is my limit. We have hit it. Like, because I feel like I did grow up in a state, and I'm sure that even in like less civilized states, and I don't mean that in the shitty way, but I mean in a little bit of a shitty way, like a less civilized state than New Jersey, it happens a lot more. Do you know what I mean? Like that stuff at parties happens a lot more than it does.
It reminds me, you might have seen this video too on Facebook. It was another, it might have even been Thailand, where there was a group of white male tourists with this entitlement thing we're talking about, where it's like, I'm a white male in another country. They're drunk, and this one dude, he like gropes this woman walking by who's a local. And she and her friends, but mostly her, she fucking takes him out. Yes. She fucking... I guess she like knew some kind of martial arts or not, who knows, but she just it's beautiful. You watch her just take him out, and it's like things like that.
Yeah.
Whether it's with you're verbally taking him out or actually whatever, physically, it's like, we've had enough. So good. It makes people wake the fuck up. Like,
I'm so happy. We're not your object. Yeah. I'm so happy this is happening. I couldn't be more thrilled. And like I posted that other thing that like, girls are not the casualty to like men's coming of age stories. Like, we should never be. Like, it's crazy that we're still having to have these conversations. And it's crazy that I think that while they were happening to us, while these things were happening to us growing up, we kind of felt like it was okay. Not okay, but it was like part of the culture that we were supposed to hold these things in and suffer through them because we were women.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that.
Yeah. Well, the times, they are a-changing.
Yeah,
people are getting more scared in a good way to abuse their power.
Yeah.
You know how many men are shaking right now who were in those situations years and years ago? Right now they have families, but 20 or 30 years ago they assaulted a woman, but they wouldn't even call it assault.
Well, I don't think they're shaking. That's what actually, I've said something really similar, and then one of my friends said to me, like, most of those guys still don't think they did anything wrong.
Some of them are quaking. I can feel it.
I hope so.
Not all of them, but there are some that are like, and maybe even some of the quote unquote good dudes are starting to think like, wait,
I was about back in the day? I was also thinking that if you're a good dude and this is happening and you're thinking to yourself, I did some fucked up things when I was younger, it doesn't mean that you have to push back against this movement. I think that the enlightenment and the progression comes with saying, I did those things and they were wrong, and I'm going to make sure that my children or whoever, or that I get behind the people who are trying to fix this. I don't think that they should hide and be like, fuck this chick, that never happened that way. No, it did happen that way. And if you did it too, it's cool. You can still get on her side.
Right. It's not cool, but you can still get on
her side. It's not cool, no, but like, you can accept it and you can sit with it and it can feel however it feels to you. You don't have to try. You can change. You don't have to defend yourself by getting on his side.
Amen. I agree. Yeah. This is a big time of all of us to go within, because it even makes me know I'm not a man who's ever assaulted someone, but I've definitely misused my power in different situations, whether it was with an ex or my son. And like, it's a time to not only point the finger, but for all of us to go within and be like, in what areas of my life have I misused my power? Because we're all trying our best, I think. And it's a time, it's a big shift in evolution for us to go, to switch from victim mentality to like this empowered mode of like, speaking our truth and trying to figure out a solution for all of us, not just for the people, but for the environment, for animals. Like, a lot of us are getting to a point where we've had enough of navigating life the way we've all been. We're seeing the brokenness, and it's like, we're ready for a change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Kate Wolf.
Yeah, and driving out here. Where can people find you if you want to be found? Like, what account on Instagram should they follow?
If you want to check out my work, I am an interior designer, and my work is at Tina Constis on Instagram. It's pretty much the only place.
Okay, so follow her there. If you try to follow her personal account, she ain't going to accept that.
Nope.
She's a lot more private than
me.
So
it's Tina Constis, my whole name. That's the account you want to follow.
With a K. Last name.
Yep, K-O-N-S-T-A-S.
Awesome. And for me on Twitter and Instagram, at the Kate Wolf, two F's. If you'd like a healing, it's kwolf27@gmail.com. Check out my album 1111 on iTunes and Labia Game.
Yes, girl.
My music video, which, believe it or not, and some people didn't get this, Labia Game is about this, by the way. It's supposed to be a woman speaking her truth, even though it's quote unquote vile or inappropriate. It wasn't about me getting dick for anyone who, you know what I mean? It really wasn't. Like, yes, do I look sexy in it? Like, sure, but it's, do you know what I mean? And that's not trying to toot my own horn. I'm wearing sexy outfits, but it's like, it's me being like, this is my body. I'm allowed to curse. I'm allowed to talk about my period. I'm claiming this stuff for me and for women.
If you've never heard Labia Game, definitely check it out. It is exactly about this stuff.
I was trying to, and even when I had my panic attack during it, I was literally talking to Gaia, the mother, during it. It felt like there was a rape wound present of just like, women are not here for you to just use to your advantage, you know? Yeah. So not everyone got that, but that ultimately was the vibe, is like, I'm going to speak the way I want to speak, even if you think it's fucking rude or not womanlike, whatever. Mm-hmm. So anyway, everyone, thank you so much for listening, and yeah, bye.
Bye.